Helpline coming your way on this Wednesday morning. And big thank you to Devin Fitzer stopping by from Apple Springs to give us updates on what's happening there. And again, you live in the Central Valley area and you're needing to be active and go through that sale program on helping you not to have those accidental falls and stuff. They're going to be having the testing for it on December 15th at Apple Springs, and then they'll have it three times a week starting in January. The assessment again on December 15th. Call 826-3590 if you'd like to be a part of that, or if you have any other questions for Devin and others at Apple Springs. And as we mentioned at the beginning of the program this morning, a full show with our local area guests this morning, and we want to welcome our guests in for our second segment. Say good morning to Terry Orford, business development coordinator at North Valley Hospital.
Good.
I got it right again. And also with us it's just kind of ingrained in it. And let's see, make sure all our mics are on. And also Linda Holden is in with us this morning. Good morning. Good to have you with us. And as we mentioned at the beginning of the program, we're going to be talking about something that is kind of a very important topic to talk about, and that is the plight of the nursing home.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Saving our nursing home
in
Tenasket.
Mm-hmm. All right. So where do we start? I know that's quite an issue.
Well, why are we here today is where we start. We're here on the radio today mostly to keep an open dialogue mm-hmm. regarding the financial struggles of our nursing home, and we want to keep that open dialogue with our community and keep them informed about what's going on so that they can participate in preserving this essential service for our community, because we are a community hospital district. The community owns us. We are public servants to our community, and it takes a community to pull off this huge feat mm-hmm. of saving our nursing home. And as we go through the show today, people will understand why it is such a huge feat to accomplish this task and the things that we have ahead of us that mm-hmm. we have to navigate through. So
I remember you mentioned just briefly when you were on last week, you know, why this has come about. So I know we will have lots of time to kind of elaborate on this more.
Yeah.
What's caused all this.
Yes. And I think Linda wanted to start off this segment with just the humanistic, as she said, point of view. She is a very passionate healthcare worker. She's has a lot of experience in nursing and working with the elderly. So I'll turn it over to Linda.
Okay.
I'm very pleased to be able to project my view today, and I hope it will provide a bit of education. I'm what is known about the elderly, and I'm getting to be 68, is that they like to philosophize.
Mm-hmm.
They have seen the history before them, and they put it together which is coming now. And so I just wanted to say that after 30 years of working in multiple roles, going into nursing homes and other facilities, what I've noticed over that time is an increase of regulation, which has been to the good many times, but it also has led to increased time for data gathering. In this day and age, we have to have nurses that just gather data for paperwork to do validation so we can get our reimbursement. And over the years, there's also been a change in reimbursement. Some facts are that the old, and now we have old, not just old people, but old, and these are the fastest growing population of 80 and older. So there is challenges for our facilities in this day and age. In the United States, this is some things that I've gathered this morning. There's about 63-64% of in the United States an average of residents in nursing homes on Medicaid, and our nursing home in itself has about 80%. That affects our reimbursement. The data I gathered, even in the United States, leaving a $7 billion shortfall at about $22.34 a day per Medicaid residents. At our extended care, it's about $50 a day below our reimbursement. So a lot of what we're going to be talking today is about the history and the of what has gone on at North Valley Extended Care. But what I want to fall to right now is the people that we take care of. Although nursing homes in the past have been set up more like institutions, we do everything we can to make them a home-like atmosphere. We are caring for people in physical ways, but during that time, we make bonds with them as human beings on their own journey. And no one, I think, works in the facility just to make money. It's for many people, it's too hard of work, but it is kind of a labor of love and caring. So in our facility, we have leaders of the community, we have teachers, pioneers, we have parents that have raised their children to be responsible citizens. It's a slice of our community, people that want to be close to their loved ones. And our great passion is to help them stay there. I think overall, I believe in the nursing homes up and down the valley, we're fortunate that we have nursing homes that are in communities and our loved ones are well taken care of. And they want to live in their own communities. And so I would just like to be a part of making that happen.
Okay, very good.
Great. So the good news, to understand the structure of our facility and how we operate, we have North Valley Hospital District. We serve about 11,000 people within our hospital district. We serve the largest geographic area. Our hospital district is the largest geographic area in the state of Washington. So we have a large area that we cover for services and for people that depend on us. So we have our two divisions. We have the hospital division, which houses our hospital, VA clinic, all of our ancillary services, rehab and those kinds of things, inpatient, OB. And then we have the long-term care division, which is our nursing home. We're still one unit. We're still one hospital district. But there is that division there, which is kind of difficult to understand. And it's more of a bookkeeping thing for us with CMS and Medicare than anything. So the good news is for the first time since 2005, North Valley Hospital District is out of warrants to the county. In 2010, we were up to $2.4 million, and we had a huge task ahead of us to tackle that debt and get it paid down. We had to make a lot of internal changes. We found that we weren't capturing all of the charges that we needed to. We found that we could be more efficient in a lot of ways, and that we were duplicating duties in a lot of departments. And so we made a lot of changes in 2010 going forward with new leadership. And it's been very successful. As of December 8th, we had a little over $300,000 cash on hand. And I will also say that we are the only hospital district in Okanagan County out of all three hospitals that is now out of debt. When I went to work at North Valley Hospital in 2010, I was very cautious. I was a little afraid to go work there because the undertone in the community was that North Valley Hospital is going to close. Don't go work there. You're going to lose your job in a couple of months because they're closing their doors. And we have proven everybody wrong. And we have done that through a change of culture and being patient-centered and focused on customer service. So here, the bad news is we were informed by the county treasurer that warrants will no longer be available to the hospital districts in Okanagan County. And that was a huge hit for all three of us hospitals because we have been depending on those to help keep us afloat. And not only with that change, we also have the Affordable Care Act. And with the Affordable Care Act comes a restructuring of payments for our hospitals and also comes with a magnitude of cuts to our reimbursement. So we have a lot of things that will hamper us in the future. There are 43 critical access hospitals which have closed in the nation since 2010. I encourage people to go to our Facebook page. We have a really great video on there that talks about the forecast for critical access hospitals and gives a firsthand account of a hospital in, I think it was Texas, and the closing of that hospital and the impact that it had on the community. And it is... it's tragic, really, and we can't afford to lose any of the three hospitals that we have. The Affordable Care Act, like I said, is changing the rural hospitals as we know it, and we have to adapt to survive, and we require support from our communities to keep our doors open. Some things about our nursing home reimbursement. Historically, nursing homes were fee-for-service. So any services that you provided to the residents, you were reimbursed for. So if you, medications, any type of care that you're providing those residents, minutes of therapy, what else? Recreational therapy we could bill for. What else? Activities and a lot of different things that we did. Everything that we did, we could bill for. Any laundry we could bill the insurances for. That is no longer and hasn't been for several years. A lot of people are wondering, well, the nursing home used to carry the hospital and used to make enough money to support the hospital and keep the hospital doors open. Well, that is very, very true. Years ago when we were fee for service in the nursing home, and now that we're not, and we are we get a daily rate from the state for taking care of the residents, and it is a flat rate, and like Linda said, we are losing $50 a day per resident, and we have 40 residents in our extended care facility. So you times that number by 365, and that reimbursement is only for our Medicaid residents. Let me clarify that. With the Medicaid residents, we're losing $50 per day. Mm-hmm. Let me also say that because of our demographic that we serve, we are primarily a Medicaid facility. Mm-hmm. So we have some challenges there. Let's see. When I was... The problem with the Medicaid reimbursement is we have a huge deficit in the state, right? And we have to balance the budget. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but we're looking to the state. We've asked them to raise our rates so we can keep our doors open. And we have talked with our legislators. Shelley Short is one of them. That several weeks ago we had a long conference call, and she made herself readily available to us to do this, which we greatly appreciate. Mm-hmm. And she said we are not unique. There are facilities all over the state who are struggling with Medicaid reimbursement rates, mm-hmm. who can't make it off of those rates. And we don't have a lot of hope for getting that changed because of this new legislation that was passed for decreasing the class sizes, which is going to be a huge expense that there's no funding for. Mm-hmm. So other programs are taking a back seat to that now. So that makes it really difficult. Mm-hmm. We worked really, really hard on our budget for 2015. We spent
days,
weeks in the boardroom with the senior leadership team, with the managers, trying to figure out how to cut costs and balance our budget. And even after all of that time that we spent, the nursing home is slated to lose a little over $800,000 in 2015. Luckily, the hospital is budgeted. A budget's a budget, right? It's a guess. Mm-hmm. But we're expecting, based on last year's volumes, and we project for next year's volumes for the hospital, that we will make a profit in the hospital. So we will be able to hopefully carry that loss in the nursing home. But we want to be proactive, and we know that there are more cuts to come for our hospital reimbursement. So that's not really something that we can rely on to keep the nursing home open. So you just had Apple Springs on here, mm-hmm. and they are a wonderful facility. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the differences. People often ask me, well, how come a facility like Apple Springs or Apple Meadows or, you know, these private facilities are very successful and they're making lots and lots of money? And my answer to them is, we are a public hospital district. We're a public facility, which that means that we take anybody that comes to our door. So we cannot, whereas a private facility can say, we have 40 beds in our facility and we will only set aside 5 for Medicaid beds, mm-hmm. for Medicaid residents. And the other 35 are for private pay or private insurance, which is where you make your money, which is how you cover your costs. Mm-hmm. We're not able to do that. We have to take whoever comes to our door, and we have a waiting list. And on that waiting list, the next person in line is selected because they're next in line, mm-hmm. not based on their insurance or any of those things. So that is another challenge that we have, that we cannot reduce the number of Medicaid residents. Strictly from a business perspective, like Linda is here to represent the caring side, the reason why we're really here is to care for the residents. And I'm trying to touch a little bit on the financial side, the real picture.
Right. Go ahead. Well, it's just, I want to interject that when I first began in nursing homes, I will say at Harmony House 30 years ago, I was quickly educated to the fact that in order to survive, you have to at least make some money. You have, for us, it's breaking even, but you can't even replace your equipment or do the things you need to do. So it's the way our health care for elderly is structured. So you just cannot leave the money piece out.
No. And I was curious and contacted the Washington State Hospital Association, which is an organization that we belong to and many, many, most hospitals in Washington State belong to. And I asked them, how many public hospital districts are there out there that also have nursing homes? And I got a response from them that in 2007, there were 13 public hospital districts with nursing homes. And in 2010, there were only 7 nursing homes, public hospital districts with nursing homes attached to them. And that just continues to tell the story that something has to change legislatively to restructure our reimbursement so we can cover our costs. We don't need to make money in the nursing home. We just have to cover our costs so we can keep those doors open. So that leads me to the next piece of this, which we have this huge problem, this huge challenge ahead of us. And the senior leadership team and the CEO made a recommendation to the Board of Commissioners at a recent board meeting that we create a committee to save our nursing home. And Linda, do you want to talk a little bit about this committee and what our proposal was that was approved by the board?
Sure. We decided that one way to start would be to have a community meeting. So that was held on the 4th of December. And Terry's going to remind me how many people were there.
There were over 60 people at this meeting, packed into our boardroom.
Boy.
Go ahead.
Well, and right. And it was a real statement because we had decided to do this, and within a shortened time, we tried to get the word out. So I think that just represented the interest
and passion
right.
in our community.
Right,
it's
and there was
incredible.
A cross section of community leaders, family members, and interested citizens. And our small team had looked at different committees that we might form, and so we just projected those as someone that would help us set up community forums, because our district covers a wider area than just Tenasket, and we want to be able to be available for questions and processing in other places farther north, and I don't know if there's anything too much farther south, So we have community forums, a legislative committee. Even though we know that the rebasing may, and that is adding, increasing the rate, has some grim aspects, I guess I was raised with Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, with, and I kind of believe that a powerful voice from a community or a united people can make a difference. Mm-hmm. So we are not giving up on the legislative side,
yep.
And we had interest in that. Grants and funding, fundraising, I'll have Terry speak to that in a minute. And we also wanted to explore a possibility of a levy. And then there was a group of interested citizens looking at what I guess we just termed restructuring. So, Terry, talk to us about, like, the grant, what we're doing already.
Well, I think that we need to look at grants that are out there, and I think that having community members, we have a lot of really talented people in our communities that we serve that are experienced in writing grants. Like at the CCC, they wrote a grant to at the Community Cultural Center to redo that building and turn it into a community center, and they did a beautiful job, and it took I think several hundred thousand dollars. I mean, it was a big grant that they wrote and that they received. And there's other grants that have been written like that in our community. And so I'm looking for people in our community who are passionate about writing grants, who are experienced in doing that. And one of the grants that I've recently written to the USDA was the Rural Development Grant, and we are a really good candidate for that grant. Okay. And we just have a few little last pieces to turn in some of the financials that they've requested to button up the rest of that request, grant request, and feel confident that we will get it. And that grant will go to pay for replacing all the windows in the extended care. So that's part of the grants and fundraising committee, and no idea is not good. And I mean, if you want to do a bake sale, well, you know, that's great. Mm-hmm. Nobody will be turned away with their ideas. Mm-hmm. So did you
you know, here where our rates are low, what grant for windows? But our building is aging, and we have capital projections for capital expense that sap into, you know, our money that's set aside for us. And so some of that would be help. The grants would help take care of that, so we wouldn't have to worry about some kinds of disasters happening to our roof or our residents, you know, having to deal with not, you know, the finest, maybe little bit of leaky windows. So anyway, awkwardly said, but
makes the point.
So another reason why I'm here today is I, from that community meeting, we have, like I said, over 60 people show up for this meeting, and it was intense. But I was totally inspired by the ideas that were generated in that meeting to keep the nursing home open, to get people in the community involved in this process. And there was a lot of anger in that room also. There were folks, and a lot of those folks have fathers or mothers or family members in our nursing home and are quite concerned about, should we close, what is going to happen to their family? Because, like I said, nursing home, public hospital district nursing homes are closing at a rapid rate all over this state. And it's not due to what the facility is doing. It's because they're operating off of frozen rates from Medicaid. We are being reimbursed off of 2007 rates. So since 2007, we've had a lot of inflation. We have seen all of our costs rise for electricity, and all of our utilities have risen. Groceries in the last 6 months have risen. Mm-hmm. The minimum wage has risen since then. So we are experiencing an increase of cost, but we're not being compensated for that from our state. And the concerning piece here is, like Linda said, we have an aging population, and the state of Washington has an obligation to take care of these people. And it's frightening that these resources are dwindling away to take care of these folks, and there's nothing being done about it. And so I really want to challenge our community to come together, and I know that people are upset and angry and have opinions about certain things, way that things are run at the hospital, but let me tell you, we have done a good job, and that is proven because we are out of debt. And we are the only facility out of debt, the only public hospital district out of the county. So we have proven ourselves that we are doing a good job. Mm-hmm. And we need the community to come together and help us have a voice at a state level, a national level even, of bringing light to this huge crisis that we have for this reduction in resources for taking care of the elderly. So that's what I want our community to do. And I know that we have a very passionate and very intelligent community that, should we come together and harness that power, we can make a lot of difference. So if people want to get involved, Linda, how do they do that?
Well, one thing you can do is go to our website, and there's more information there. I could be called at my own work phone. It's 509-486-3147. Terry, do you have other questions?
Yeah, we have our Facebook page, and we also have a group email that we've set up. So if you want to get added to that group email, I have created this so that I can keep everybody up to date by sending one communication that goes directly to that person. I want to send them updates from the Save Our Nursing Home Committee on their progress or anything else that's going on with that project to keep them up to date on any progress or change.
And I would like to interject that we know that everyone doesn't have a computer or are interested in having a website or having something sent to them by email. So our combined committees are working on some kinds of literature and information that will be placed in community areas and also be responsive to anybody asking for something that's on paper.
Okay. So look for those coming out.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So we did get a question that was called in to the station. I'm not really sure how this is related, but I will try to answer it to the best of my ability. And the first question, or the question that I'll address, is, did the extended care pay for the Verbeck building? And that's kind of a general question and sort of
first say what the Verbeck building was.
The Verbeck building was the assisted living facility that we did close in 2012. That building, see, it's just so complicated because we are a critical access hospital and we are cost-based reimbursed for the hospital services. We get reimbursed for all of our square footage, and that goes into our cost to provide care. When we had the assisted living, all of that square footage was not claimable on our cost report because it was not under the hospital division. It was under the long-term care division, which is not claimable on the cost report. So when we did end up closing the assisted living facility, we were able to transform that space and put it under the hospital division, and we were able to turn it into a rehab center with private treatment rooms and a gym and enhanced services for our community. And the other part of the building is used to house our traveling ER physicians, and an administrative piece is allocated for that building. So
I just wanted to add that the assisted living wasn't closed to make, you know, cost report space for the hospital. It was a case of severe underfunding also.
Just like the nursing home.
Right.
And so let me finish this piece, which is No, the extended care did not pay for the Verbeck building, I guess in the sense how I'm interpreting the question anyways. Mm-hmm. Should this caller want to ask me further questions, they are welcome to by calling me directly at 509-486-3163. Mm-hmm. So no, they didn't pay for that building, but we were able to be productive with that space after the closure and claim it on our cost report and get reimbursed for that square footage instead of letting it sit vacant and not benefit the community with the rehab center or the facility by increasing our cost report.
Okay.
So I hope that I was able to answer that question to some extent. Mm-hmm. So
something to remember is that the better the hospital does, then it behooves us because of our money loss. They help pay some of our bills. So
yeah, I'm truly... It's important to patronize the hospital because it does benefit the nursing home. Because the nursing home is losing every year, we are able to float that loss with hospital revenue. And so it has been proposed by some people, well, let's just close the surgical center. That'll be a cost savings. Mm-hmm. Well, that's one of our revenue-generating departments. No way would we want to close down our surgical center because that contributes to help pay for the nursing home losses. Mm-hmm. So it is very complicated. It's hard to ask our community to participate in a solution of restructuring, as that's been brought up before. I don't know that that's really a realistic task for our community to do because it takes years to understand all of the regulations. And I'm not just saying this.
And they change, too, don't they?
Right. And that's the thing, is they change every single year. And we know that there's going to be changes every single year for the Affordable Care Act. Mm-hmm. So I think, again, I want to come back to how can the community get involved? And that's through, you know, exploring a levy, writing grants, or doing fundraising for the facility. Being legislatively active and contacting our legislators to, you know, there's only seven of us left, of us public hospital district nursing homes left. Why couldn't we pass a bill to give us a bailout? There's only seven of us. So give us a bailout for $50 a day per resident to help us keep our doors open. And I think that's how the community can get involved.
And another question came in about email. If folks are inclined to do the email type of thing, what would be a good email address?
If they want to get on the email group that I've set up, please send me an email to busdev@nvhospital.org, and that's like business development. And our website is www.nvhospital.org, and that's like North Valley. I will also get on our Facebook page when I get back to my office and post my email address on there as well in case somebody missed it. They can easily find our Facebook page.
Wonderful.
So
I just wanted to say that we acknowledge that there's questions about our finances and what people might make or not make. I would just encourage the public to be involved and come to the board meetings. Our budget is shared. Things are gone over right in public with the our board of directors. And the questions that you have can possibly be answered in that forum. So we get a good turnout. We had a wonderful turnout. So continue your participation. It's a public hospital, and you're part of the public. So ask your questions.
And our website has a lot of resources on there. We post our agenda a week ahead of time for our board meetings. So you can always get on there and see if there's anything on the agenda that you would be interested in or you are connected to that you want to speak to. And so you can plan ahead. Our minutes are posted on our website, and we will continue to try and provide as many resources as we can. Sorry, Chris.
Oh, you're fine.
Oh, Linda wants the last two.
Okay. Yeah, that's just fine.
So, lastly, I would really like people to, like I said, go to our Facebook page and watch that video on critical access hospitals. It is mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. Because we can totally relate to what this town is going through now. It's sort of like a projection into our future. Hopefully not,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If we all come together and are active.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a presentation on our website, on the main page, that the slideshow of what Linda Michelle, our CEO, presented to our Board of Commissioners about where we've been, where we are, and where we're going with our hospital. And it has tons of information on there about our budget and the Affordable Care Act, the cuts that we're going to be experiencing. So please go there, and if you're interested and you want to educate yourself about what's going on at our facility.
Very good.
Well, just for my last word, is that I would like to say that I've not been asked to compromise care with cutting my staff so short that, you know, in order to save money. And that's one thing I honor our administration with. Sometimes when things do get tight in facilities, there's lots of cuts, and I'm not going to speak to any facility in particular, but we've not been asked to reduce our staffing in order to compromise our care. Mm-hmm. Our 5-star rating on the Compare site indicates that we have 5 stars with our RN staffing, our quality measures. We do have 4 stars, which is still good for our staffing, which covers our nurses' aides. Anyway, my last word can be long, so I better.
Well, I appreciate you both coming in. I know it's been a difficult thing to go through.
It is.
Trying to make some sense out of a very complex issue. I think you've done very well, and appreciate you taking some time out to do so.
Thank you.
And again, lots of opportunities for folks to ask more questions
via
various formats and stuff. And so it's good to...
Or go on a tour. I would be happy to do a tour.
In.
And I'd love to come back again. You know, maybe we should be back every month just to
get some follow-ups on what's happening.
Well, I mean, really, let's be consistent and let's provide more opportunities for people to call in with questions. Mm-hmm. And because the questions that are being asked other people might be wondering the same thing. So.
All right. Well, we'll take one last break on this morning's Helpline program, and we'll tell you who's coming up in the weeks ahead. Stay tuned.